Hello, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of this program, The Internet Advisor, and we're smack dab in the middle of 3 hours of a special program here. We've been talking about security and a very new way of keeping us secure. Now we're going to move on to talk about drones. Yes, things flying over Detroit. Matter of fact, big and small drones. We're talking with Harry Arnold, who has Detroit's drone company. And we'll also be talking with Mike Amon from California about the future and Emily Hay about social media. Thank you for being here for hour number two of The Internet Advisor. My old pal Gary Baker with us in studio. Ed Rudell and Cal Carson are here as well. And are going to be helping us with our comments about the future that's ahead of us. But somebody who is very much practically involved in that future is Harry Arnold, who's with us in studio here. Harry is the president of and the founder of Detroit Drones. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Glad to have you here. We're going to have you talking about drones and some of the exciting things where, you know, the future in some ways is here right now in terms of some of the projects you have. But we'll get to that during the rest of this hour. So you want to stick around, help us to co-host the show?
It would be my pleasure.
All right. Very good. Well, we have somebody who's also part of our team on the line right now, and that's Emily Hay. Emily, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Foster. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Well, you know, son, I just got to ask you, Emily, the first year, first Christmas with the little Hayette, what was it like?
Cal, you're so sweet to ask. It was beyond any expectation I could have ever had. Thank you. It was wonderful.
So does she now have her own Facebook page with all her pictures on it?
No, we're keeping that baby's digital footprint very small.
Wise mother there. We're talking about Ainsley, her very first child, been in the studio here with us. Congratulations on that again. It was neat seeing Christmas through her eyes. Well, let's take a look at 2015 through your eyes as you're looking out at social media and talk about some of the social networks. What do you see happening there?
Sure, yeah, 2015 is here. And there's a couple things, there's three things that I see for 2015 happening. I've been reading up a lot about this, and it's same old. You start to hear that we'll experience the rise and fall of the social networks. So what does that mean? Well, people are getting so sick and tired of Facebook taking our information that there's a new social network out there called Ello, E-L-L-O. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard it in passing, yeah.
Yeah. So that one, it's still in beta, and it's something that they're saying they will never have advertising. They think that it's creepy to use personal information to sell to advertisers. So that could be, you know, the new rising social network of 2015.
Yeah, but it also sounds like the Achilles heel, you know, of why it may not succeed, because you would need revenue of some type. So would this be a paid for service or free, do you think?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So they say that they feel their users will be willing to pay for various features as you get to use the social network.
Okay.
So that's one I think is interesting. And then Google Plus keeps coming to the front burner. Is it going to last? Is it going to fade away? And so far, a lot of people are thinking that maybe we don't need Google Plus in 2015.
Ooh, that would be heresy to some Android users.
So in social media circles, are you saying, Emily, that we may be going to a trend where we will, quote, pay for privacy?
Well, again, if you're using a social network that sells, you know, your private information to advertisers and you want the opposite of that, I think you would be willing to pay for some various features. WhatsApp, we all know how successful WhatsApp is, and that costs a whopping $1 a year. So I think there's some value in paying for what you want.
And Gary, doesn't the premium version of LinkedIn offers you some of that same kind of security or privacy, I should say?
You pay for a little more.
Yeah, you get more features, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, it's like every other app that's out there. You know, you can download a free app till you blue in the face, but it's like, okay, now we're going to give you advertising to pay for that app. Or if you give us $5 for that app, we won't advertise to you.
Yeah,
so you're paying for the privacy.
Yeah, we don't have to have advertising because you're paying us.
Exactly.
If you want it free, somebody's got to pay.
That's your second point, isn't it, Emily, about social advertising?
Sure, that's a perfect segue. So social advertising, it's definitely going to evolve and experience tremendous growth this year. The reason I say that is because, as we know on Facebook, less and less of our organic content or, you know, posts that we put on our pages, less of that gets out to our fans and friends. Therefore, we promote posts. We use Facebook ads. Well, if there's more demand for that, then obviously the cost of these ads can go up.
I wonder if that will work. I'm wondering if the piecemeal paying for these things is going to work, or an un-Facebook like Elo could make it happen. All right, third one you had down here was about videos and images.
Sure. So this year, as we've seen this past year of 2014, that videos and images in particular continue to dominate for social marketers. Instagram had a fantastic year in 2014. There's so many users, there's so many people that are jumping ship from Facebook and only using Instagram. So if marketers want to, they're planning on increasing their investment, they want to go image-based, they want to use video services, and Instagram offers all of that.
Well, remind me, who just bought Instagram? Was it Google?
Instagram was a Facebook acquisition.
Oh, a Facebook acquisition. That's
right. Yeah, that was a while ago. I had to think for a second.
Yeah, I did. Oh, that's right. That was the first $1 billion acquisition, I think, wasn't it? That they bought it for.
Yeah, because then WhatsApp was, you know, big bucks, and Instagram looked like it was a big deal.
Chump change.
A bargain.
After we all kind of went, how much money? It's become kind of chump change on it. So it's interesting. So a Facebook product. Is something
right.
You're
so
saying.
Instagram, you know, remember it has, of course, images. That's its main bread
and
butter.
Right.
It has micro videos. So they're saying that folks are using Vine less. You know, do you need a separate micro video site when Instagram lets you post images and micro videos? So, and then we're seeing with YouTube, it's just giving marketers and users more opportunity to have longer content. You know, not just a 15-second video.
Ed, you've always told us that was the place to go to look for help with some of the problems that you run into.
Oh, right, yeah.
I love how-to videos, yeah.
Oh, absolutely awesome. Matter of fact, my daughter's iPhone, her battery was not doing quite as well, and I went there, saw a YouTube video on how to replace that battery. Even on that same video, I was able to click and order the battery itself and the tools with it.
Wow. Booming on YouTube. Emily, thank you so much for being with us and pointing out these things. We'll be having Emily in for some special programming as well, I'm sure, as we go on through 2015 to talk about some of these individual elements. Those predictions you'll be able to find on our homepage later on today as well. Emily, hey, have a very good 2015.
Thanks, Foster. See you guys soon.
All right, bye-bye. Coming up in just a moment, Mike Amon, a futurist from Silicon Valley. Thank you again for being with us here for the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, here. Hour number 2 of 3 hours. And this hour, we're definitely, we've got that crystal ball up and we're taking a look at the future. Emily Haven with us to talk about social media. Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, Kel Carson, and Harry Arnold is with us in studio. And Harry, thank you again for being with us as our co-host. I kind of see you as somebody who is with your drones. You've kind of rolled up your sleeve and you're already at the future.
Yeah, that's a mixed blessing, but I'm sitting out here on the limb called future. Yes, sir, that's me.
We're going to be talking about some of your exploits and what you're doing with your drones, but I just thought it was kind of interesting to have you in today because, as I said, in some ways we talk about, Gary, you had to think about the drones and your predictions for this year, that there would be regulations that would finally come down about how to fly them and where to fly them, but you've already been, Harry, out there very legally doing a whole lot of stuff with your drones, haven't you?
Well, yes, and as I was just saying during the break, you really just have to make sure to respect, first of all, people's privacy, their property. When I got into the business, I was flying over private property with the owner's permission to document something that they wanted me to document.
Gotcha.
And that's much different than using it salaciously.
Yeah, where you're
like
sneaking in, doing something with the information you're getting.
Yes, because, you know, just because we're waiting for, quote, drone laws, unquote, doesn't mean that there aren't already laws about privacy.
Absolutely.
And endangering public welfare and other things like that you can run afoul of if you just operate without using common sense.
Common sense, I love that. One key factor in all things. Isn't it, guys?
No kidding. And, you know, the drones can be flown inside and outside. My son flies his around the house, and it'll come around the corner, and he comes right up to me and looks me right in the eye, and then he backs it up and then flies it off into a different room. And, you know, people really know how to fly these drones, and especially kids that have played video games for so long. I mean, he picked it up so quickly, and I still can't. You know, keep it hovering, without it drifting one side or the other.
I think he lives in the future, as kids do. They live in the future.
Yeah. So how do you do this on a more commercial basis?
Well, pretty much just offer my services. There's a lot of traditional industries that have used aerial photography and video, like construction, demolition, things like that. And so they were a natural for approaching with a drone where you could do the aerial imagery at a fraction of the cost of what they would charge.
With helicopters, for instance, in the past.
Sure.
Yes.
Immensely.
And I've seen so many of the videos. They're really stable. I mean, people know how to fly these.
Well, oh, yeah. You've got a story to tell about the fires and about learning some things about how to cover fires in just a minute. I want to bring Mike Amon on. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Mike is the CEO out at San Joaquin Partnership out in Silicon Valley. And he is our guru, our swami we bring in here at the beginning of the year to talk. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Happy New Year to everyone.
Hey, Happy New Year. You've been listening in, I'm sure, to this conversation about drones. I know. Does that figure into some of the things that you will see coming up in 2015?
Oh, absolutely. From a real estate, a commercial real estate standpoint, almost all the major companies have a drone, but what we're seeing in addition to the footage is the simulation. So, for example, if you had a big warehouse and you had different schemes for stacking different types of products, you can simulate that along with the aerial footage. And I know one company who has actually leased a facility without the customer actually physically coming to the site.
Huh?
Yes.
I see, because of what they could simulate.
That's right.
Oh,
so
wow.
They can see the whole building with the drone aerial footage. And then on top of that, you can take three-dimensional drawings. Mm-hmm. It could even be a building that is in a CAD program, and you can simulate the building of that in a
incredible
in a site. And they have to when they do this, they have to make sure that you understand that the building's not really there.
but it's wow, it's so incredible. Harry, we were talking about the payloads, the drones. Harry Arnold, by the way, is the head of the Detroit Drone Company. We're talking about the payloads they can carry, and it's not just like packages, but it's that information content that they can bring back.
Oh, yes. It's very flexible as far as payload. You just pretty much have a weight limit and if there's power consumption. But I did want to comment on the video that you your guest was talking about as far as what we used to call it in the old 3D days was visualizations. The Denver RTA system center that was built for $200 million, one of the financial companies that was responsible for raising the funds to get that built, they actually spent $100,000 or so on a mixed media project where they used drone video, 3D models of the to-be-built transportation hub, and that's what you call a visualization. And when you go in and you pitch your project and you show the overhead view and the traffic patterns.
I love it.
You know, somebody getting ready to write a check would say, oh, hey, they've got it all figured out. It's
you have to assure them, as Mike says, that it's not real.
Yeah, right. So Harry, right. We had a few months ago, or a month and a half ago, we had a company in called Lunatic.
Lunatic.
That was Doug Willett. And they had a partnership going with Google, the Small Business Association of Michigan, and Lunatic, and they had a big meeting over in Grand Rapids where they were actually flying drones outside. They've been doing that for a while to help do a lot of the mapping and whatnot, flying drones down the street and above the homes and buildings, but also he was talking about inside and being able to do that. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about? You do that mapping first with a drone and then do some simulation? How does that work?
Well, you can do it in any kind of approach. It's as varied as videos can be. I mean, you can do indoor flight. You can do composite where you're shooting something that's already there and animating over it or changing it or evolving whatever the money will be.
So this is so cool. And Mike, this is what you're talking about, is the ability to do this allows you, as you said, somebody can write a check for a project without it existing in real time.
And I wanted to add in a very valuable use. As you know, a lot of Detroit is being reclaimed or reinvested in.
Yes.
As a person looks at a building and takes a photograph of a building, say a factory building on the west side, you don't know if that building is worth $5,000 or $500,000 until you examine the roof of the building, because a lot of these buildings, you would gasp if you saw the roof, because in some cases it's completely open, which means you have water damage and mold damage, and you can't price or appraise a large building without looking at the roof. And then as an investor, what do? Fly in and climb a ladder? I mean,
exactly. Or they, as we said before, the helicopter technology, which is terribly, terribly expensive. Hey, Mike, can you hang on?
Sure.
Because I want to hear more of some of the things that you are looking at in 2015. Mike Amon, by the way, is president and CEO of the San Joaquin Partnership. And Mike, you're out there in Silicon Valley in California developing business opportunities and promoting the area out there. Am I right?
You're right.
The pinnacle of technology, I imagine.
We call it Greater Silicon Valley.
Greater Silicon Valley. Can anyone imagine anything greater than Silicon Valley?
And I was curious because Detroit Drone, right here in Detroit, Harry, what are some of the other uses that that your customers come to you for?
Well, that's one of my favorite things about what I do. It's so interesting because every day there'll be something new. I did a neighborhood study for Hiller's Market in South Lyon, shooting around their store. They're leasing some of the buildings in their property, and they wanted something to show people the area.
Well, and you did. I've got to get back to it. I've seen some video of what you've done with the Detroit Fire Department that I think is really, really important. It's also part of this as well. Okay, Mike Amon, you hold on out there in California. And Harry Arnold, thank you for being in here from Detroit Drone, rather. We also have Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson, and myself, Foster Brown. This is just the middle of our program, our three-hour special. We'll be back to talk more about drones and the future. Time to give credit where credit is due. Rich Lisinski, thank you very much for being behind the glass as our engineer and keeping this mad merry-go-round going. And Eric Dorsch, thank you very much for sitting and screening for us this evening. Good to have you around. That's exactly it. Well, and as we continue on in this second hour of the Internet Advisor, we're talking about the future, 2015, what people are predicting for it. We've had Emily Hay on talking about social media, rather. We talked about some of the other things that people are predicting with our staff. And also with us in studio, we're delighted to have, along with Gary and Ed and Cal, is Harry Arnold, who is the founder of Detroit Drone. And good to have you with us, Harry.
Good to be here.
And then on the line with us from sunny California, in the heart of the Silicon Valley, is Mike Amon. We have him with us every New Year's and the beginning of the year to talk about things that are going boom in the future. Mike, what do you see as you rub your crystal ball and look ahead into 2015? Yeah. What's another trend?
You know, the old Swami of San Joaquin. Yes.
Oh, there you go. The Swami of San Joaquin. I love it.
So it is bright and clear out here. So looking ahead, I think one of the amazing things that I've seen happen within the last year is what we call the year of the unicorns. And we're going to see this in the future, certainly in 2015, and if the markets hold in the future.
Only if we drink enough.
Well, these unicorns are billion-dollar valuations by venture capitalists. And last year, there were 25 companies, startups, that were valued at, 25 in 13, and it grew to 40 in 2014. And so I see a continuation of these billion-dollar valued startup companies.
Wow.
And some that you've already mentioned. Uber.
Give me some examples. Okay, go ahead. Give me some examples.
Well, Uber, certainly.
Uber.
Yes. And another one, which I think I mentioned the last year, was we were going to see a lot more smartphones out there, and they were going to be identified with corporations. And, of course, that's the Fire Phone from Amazon.
Yeah.
But if you go look that up right now, it's $4.49. On the line, and $1 billion, actually one of the most highest valuation companies is out of China, who is also has cheap smartphones.
Hmm.
So
would that be Xiaomi?
Yes. And so you may see that become a black swan in the smartphone area.
Now, hold on. Hang on a second. Explain.
Mike, I got to ask another question, though, around there were more IPOs, initial public offerings, where stock of these startups were sold to the public, more in 2014 than any other year going back all the way to 2000.
Wow.
Are we in for another bubble burst?
I was going to say, sounds like another bubble drop to go bop.
Uber is valued at $40 billion. Twitter is valued at $20 billion. You've got Snapchat that's also around $20 billion valuation.
And Mike is saying that right out of the gate they're being valued at.
And how is this all going to continue?
Well, it is because there's more money out there and more ways to get risk capital than ever before. And I know it's hard, especially Gary and I and others with online technologies and trying to finance and grow that company a long time ago. Times have changed, and you're going to see this continuation in certainly 2015. That IPO window is open, and there's going to be a lot of folks who come through the door.
Now, I got to ask Harry Arnold, is this good news for you as a small business owner? Do you think that is there going to be more money out there to help you?
Well, I really do.
You hope somebody values you at a billion.
that's really, really a good sounding thing. I think as Gary and I were discussing on the break, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, coming out with regulations and certifications will do a lot to dot the I's and cross the T's. And that will enable a lot of investment capital to come in, where there are a lot of people sitting on the sidelines to see what the regulations will be.
What impresses me about you, Harry, you've been a hobbyist. You've had your hands on this for more than a decade, am I right?
Well, yes. I've been in RC and doing
which
this
is remote control. Okay.
Yes, remote control cars, planes, and so forth. And
planes, trains, and airplanes.
Yes. Yeah. My dad was a train guy.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't allowed to play with his trains, so I went over to the
gonna
planes.
You're going to go cooler. You're going to play with planes.
Yeah, Cal.
So since you brought up the FAA, I had a question in regards to drones. What is my legal airspace above my domain when it comes to a drone flying through?
Good question, yeah.
You mean if a neighbor is flying a drone over your property?
Correct.
Well,
I want to do it. What are the boundaries that exist now?
You know, as I said earlier in the segment, I concentrate on jobs over private property with the owner's permission. There have been cases in Texas and a lot of more libertarian areas of the country where people have actually shot down drones. That happened over a hunting lodge where somebody flew a drone. So,
save on clay pigeons that way.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well,
yeah,
a hunting lodge, what knucklehead would fly out? Unidentified flying object over guys have guns.
Over guys that are drinking with guns?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was going to say, I was really looking at buying one of those $79 drones and surprising my brother, flying it 200 feet into the air so we can survey his 120 acres just to see where we might want to go hunting tomorrow morning.
Yeah, they're $63 now.
Yeah. So, is that possible?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I could have used the information to say, look at the deer over there in the cedar forest. They're coming out at this time of night. That would have been completely plausible. They own the property.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, whether it's legal or illegal, whatever's going on, what is my airspace rights?
Well, right now, currently, the FAA has had it upheld in an appeal that they can regulate anything from 1 inch high up to whatever they want. So when they get around to making the regulations, if those include paper airplanes and spitballs, then
my frisbees. Please, God, no.
Well, I'm just saying but part of the mess that they're in.
Okay, what I'm hearing you saying right now is that while there may not be these explicit rules and regulations, there's this common sense privacy things. You can stay out of a lot of trouble right now.
Yeah, but there was a gentleman in New York that got fined $10,000 because he interfered with an actual aircraft.
Yeah, there's been instances where people have been sighted by airplanes, and that's close enough to cause them to make a major issue of it, because they can honestly bring down an airplane.
Now, in terms of altitude, I heard it was like 400 feet.
Yes.
3 miles from an airport.
Yes, that there is a 25-year-old FAA advisory called AC-5197 that stands for Advisory Circular, and it has things on it that include flying 300 feet and the distance to the airport, and again, common sense has to come into it.
So, but there are there's no regulations right now that say this is where you are.
I'm not supposed to fly less than 500 feet. Unless it's inhabited, and then I'm not supposed to fly less than 1,000 feet in an airplane.
And again, it's common sense. I've seen helicopters flying up and down the I-75 corridor at 300 or 400 feet.
Yeah, they're not supposed to. Yeah, 500 feet is the minimum.
Well, yeah, and again, as in, like, if you're in a boat and there's a freighter coming, sometimes the rules, get superseded by common sense.
Yes.
And you have to,
Is that Cal? Does that answer your question?
No, it didn't at all.
Let me directly address.
Because there is no rule.
You're going to have to find, as far as the FAA is concerned, they're not going to help you. But if you can find a sheriff or somebody else, a constable that's sympathetic to your cause, he can have privacy things thrown at him. He can have invasion,
make
space,
friends,
endangerment. He could be, if you're just sitting there and a drone's flying, it could be seen as being dangerous.
Okay.
So you're going to have to appeal some kind of other way.
Now, despite all of that, you have been able to practically help, and I want you to talk about the fire department in particular, what you've been able to do with them.
Yeah, well, I was, as a lifelong Detroit resident, I was really happy I got a chance to work with Homeland Security and the fire department a few years ago on Angels Night, and we actually flew a drone around neighborhoods, and it's kind of a...
You can see footage of that video through your Detroit drone site, DetroitDrone.com.
Yes, sir. And that kind of led to working more with the fire department, to the point where we were going out where there were fires and shooting an image from the fire down and letting the incident commander see
in real
image.
Time.
Yes,
he was able to use your eye in the sky
to
see where there were hot spots, where there were danger areas to protect firemen.
Yes.
And I want to... Is that going someplace?
I hope so, because it will save lives and save money.
Excellent. Harry Arnold, I want you to hang on. We're going to talk more about maybe some of the future uses of drones. Mike Amon, thank you for being around with us. You want to hang on for one more segment? See if you got another one in there?
Sure.
All right. Mike Amon with us from the Silicon Valley. We're going to continue talking about the future 2015, and particularly through the eyes of the drones. If you're just catching us for the first time, here in the middle of our Internet Advisor special, we'll be going on until 7 o'clock this evening tonight, with some very special focus, simply go to internetadvisor.net, and you'll see all of our show notes there. It'll link you off to many of the other resources, a toolkit that Ed Rudell, who is in here studio, has developed for us, and you'll see podcasts, past programs. You get on and hear about all sorts of things, like Terry Takai last week that we had in as a wonderful guest. And with Cal, we've been talking about Apple things throughout the years. You'll find them listed there as well. Today, we are delighted to have in studio with us, along with the usual group of suspects, Harry Ardle, who is with us from Detroit Drone. And Harry, once again, good to have you in here. Thank you very much. And then we're also having with us online somebody the Swami of Silicon Valley.
Of San Joaquin.
That's right. The Swami of San Joaquin is with us. That's Mike Amon. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
Mike is with the San Joaquin Partnership, which is an organization that promotes development of entrepreneurs in that area of the world.
He's the economic development czar in that part of the world.
And ooh, it's a czar. Czar.
One valley over from Silicon Valley.
All right, hey, Mike.
Did I get that, Mike, right? Right, Mike?
Well, yeah, it's one valley over, but it's really part and parcel with what is happening in Silicon Valley as such. That's why we call it Greater Silicon Valley. But yes, lots of changes going on out here.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you. Our last segment, we talked about these startups and everything like that. How the heck does something become worth $1 billion so fast?
Well, I think what you have to understand is, to get that valuation, you have to be in Silicon Valley. What I have seen over the last 5 years in particular, when it comes to innovation, to be relevant and to access this huge amount of capital, 45% of all the risk capital in the world is in Silicon Valley, and 60% of all risk capital is in California.
Wow.
And so what we've seen is non-traditional technology companies such as Walmart, such as McDonald's, all the automobile companies are out here in Silicon Valley innovating, using this so-called ecosystem to grow these ideas. And the scale is just increasing. That's why I brought up this unicorn or this billion-dollar valuation.
Yeah.
You know, being back in the Midwest, you just don't see the scale in the growth of this. And frankly, you know, I think Harry ought to change his company's name to include the globe, because if the FAA doesn't move along with drones, the rest of the world will. So Detroit and the world, or infinity, is where he needs to think about it. Although
if you can,
his website, he's doing very well.
If you can give me a $20 billion IPO, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, you get to call it whatever you want. It seems kind of ingrown, though. But Cal, go ahead.
Okay, so then my question to you, Mike, would be this. If I'm a startup here in the Midwest, do I need to relocate in Silicon Valley? Or how do I get the people in Silicon Valley to say, hey, we want to throw our dollars
in the
Midwest?
No, wait a minute. You're asking a guy who's paid to get people to come to his area and open up.
Yeah, but he's
shop.
A swami. He can go beyond the realms of
the
natural.
Well, we just talked about global. Let's be global. We can start here in the Midwest and go from there.
No, there is no doubt that you can get funded if you're not in Silicon Valley. But you need to have a presence there is what I'm suggesting.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Oh. And this is the presence maker. Okay, you mean like an office there? Is that what you're saying?
An office, a relationship with someone who is promoting what you're doing wherever you happen to be. So
Harry,
my point being is that many countries have incubator startups, whatever you want to call them, for their startups, and so they come into Silicon Valley. They get their ideas exposed and funded because the country or the state has an office there that promotes those startups.
This is leading into our next hour, by the way. We're going to be talking about innovation in Detroit with a group of people from kind of an incubator type of thing. And the question will be then, maybe to apply this, how do we get really serious money here to work with people in Detroit? Go ahead.
Well, and there's a lot of serious money here. It's just not at the scale in Silicon
Valley. Yeah, not the same scale.
And Mike, I think it was 30 years ago this year that you and I started taking trips out to the Valley from here when you were living here, right?
Absolutely.
I think it's 30, 31 maybe.
Careful there. I'm the old
young
Swami now, yeah. But and I believed in what we were doing back then to the point where I've located an office, which this year I'm going to spend 2 days at least a week in Silicon Valley promoting our area, both our entrepreneurs and as far as entrepreneurs there, to come out and lower their burn rate.
Well, there you go, Harry. We've just made a contact here.
Yeah, I'm writing.
He's writing furiously, Mike. We're going to have him get in touch with you. That's really important to make that contact, Eddie. Okay. Listen, Mike, one other thing. Before we where you put the cloth over your crystal ball, is there anything else? And I know there's lots of other things. We hope to post a list that you're going to be making of predictions for 2015. But is there any one thing that you see that you can talk about, put your finger on before we leave?
Well, I just want to go back to things that changed your life. So 3 years ago, I put a new solar roof on my house. This year I bought a plug-in hybrid board fusion. All the LED lights on my Christmas tree and around me, all my Christmas lights are LED, and they're programmable now. Oh. I have a 4K TV. So next year we're going to see Windows 10, we're going to see the iWatch, we're going to see more sensors everywhere. We're going to see people cutting the cable. HBO now is you're going to be able to get that over the internet.
That's right. HBO Plus, right?
Yeah. And so there's really rapid change. People here in Silicon Valley live with rapid change, but people that I talk to, it's just going faster and faster.
It seems like that. Seems like the carousel has just picked up speed. So how are you planning on coping with it? Buying another device?
I'm going to invest in an iPad and also an iPhone, the large format this year, with the fingerprint, because security and payments are going to be big this year.
I think so too. Matter of fact, that was part of my prediction. I think I saw, Cal, you mentioned it as well, about payments and the fingerprint security in particular. Mike, we're going to be wrapping these things up right now, but thank you very much for being with us. Mike Amon from the Swami of San Joaquin Valley, and we'll be having his predictions in more detail coming up. They'll be on our prediction page, and that'll be coming up a little later on. Have a great...
One other thing.
Yes.
One other thing, Foster. Thank you for 24 years as the voice on WJR for Internet Advisor. Great job.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you so much. It's been 17 here for that, but I have also been in broadcasting in many other ways for 24 years, matter of fact, close to 40 in some other areas. But Mike, thank you so much for being here with us, too.
You're welcome.
And we will be checking back with him, Mike Amon, during the year. Now, Harry, I want to talk with you just kind of quickly and say thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
We're going to be talking about innovation coming up in the next hour. You certainly are on the cutting edge of that with the Detroit drone. Check out our homepage, internetadvisor.net. You can see right there how you can get to Detroit Drone, find out more about the exciting things that are happening. I don't think we can yet imagine the kind of areas we're going to be in.
Well, there's quite a few coming up, but... some of the most popular ones will probably be networking, sniffing and flying near networks to get information on them, situational awareness for first responders, and don't forget the hobbyists, like Mr. Baker's son. I'm personally part of a group that's organizing racing and other things. And
we'll have more leads to that coming up. Harry Arnold, thank you so much for being with us. Next hour, folks, stick around after the news. We're going to be talking about innovation in Detroit.